We're so excited that you guys are here. We're so excited that we get to worship and learn with you guys today. My name's Myrrh, if you do not know me. Hello, nice to meet you. Tonight, we're going to be finishing out this series talking about the amazing, wonderful God that we know and how we can make this year awesome. We just started a new year, right? And last week, Bear talked about how big God is, how simply amazing he is. And tonight we're going to take that idea and expand on how we can make this year awesome by simply planning to plant a garden. Remember when you were in school, or if you're still in school, and you just finished like a huge project? And maybe you like got a good grade, or even if you didn't, you just felt so like accomplished, right? You just got so excited that you finished it. And I remember my senior year of high school, I was in an engineering class, and we worked on one project the whole year. And my group, we rewired a microwave to scan food barcodes. And another group created like a dog car seat, and another made like a software program to help people find aisles in grocery stores. And it was just so fun. It was fun work. And I remember at the end of the year, we had like a huge presentation of all of our work. And we all just felt so good about it. It didn't matter how other people saw our projects. It almost didn't even matter like what grade we got or how well we did, because we did what we were supposed to do. We succeeded in finishing our tasks and we did our best. Now, Jake talked about how we don't have to do anything but accept God's love to have a relationship with him, right? And that's crazy considering how big he really is. And that's so true, that God loves you no matter where you're at. However, tonight I do have to add, if you are a believer, if you do believe, and if you do have a relationship with God, we are called to something more than sitting in disobedience to God, right? We are called to continue working for him, continue pursuing that relationship, and discovering what that looks like. In order for us to truly see God's hand in our lives, we sometimes have to plant a garden, as we call it. We have to continue to grow and learn and help prepare to plant seeds in other people's lives. We have to learn and share the gospel. Galatians 6, 7 through 10 says, "Make no mistake, God is not mocked. A person will harvest what they plant. Those who plant only for their own benefit will harvest devastation from their selfishness. But those who plant for the benefit of the Spirit will harvest eternal life from the Spirit. Let's not get tired of doing good, because in time, we'll have a harvest if we don't give up. So then, let's work for the good of all whenever we have an opportunity, and especially for those in the household of faith." The beginning of these verses in Galatians is a metaphor. Planting is kind of like what we've already spoken about. If you boil it down, it's good works. It's working for the good. Works, I might add, that will not get you any closer to heaven than accepting Jesus and him alone. I've talked before about my swimming analogy, but I'll say the metaphor again because I love them. If me and Michael Phelps are swimming across an ocean, he will make it farther than me. I am out of shape. I will admit he is going to make it way farther than me, but neither one of us are going to survive that swim, right? It is physically impossible to swim across the entire ocean. Just like having more good works will not get you closer to heaven. It isn't a race or a competition, but rather, just by accepting Jesus, we have the blessed opportunity to spend eternity with the Father. But, as you may have heard, faith without works is dead, and that's what Paul is trying to get at here. If we plant our seeds, our time, energy, and passion in ourselves, we ultimately come up empty, with no harvest, with nothing eternal. But if we continue to do good and follow the Holy Spirit by learning, by investing ourselves and our passions into growing in relationship with God and sharing the gospel, we ultimately have a harvest full of blessings. We become fruitful and can see that the work that we've done with God is good and that God's hands are in it. So as we come into a new year, it feels like a new start, right? A fresh start. Not saying you can't start this anytime, but we think it's the best way to start a new process. And if we want to see this great harvest at the end of the year, if we want to look back at this year and say, wow, it was so awesome to see what God did that year, we need to prepare our garden. We have to prepare to plant so that we can look back at it in wonder. Tonight we're going to be reading a little bit of Matthew 13. It is commonly known as the parable of the sower. And Jesus is speaking in parables. So let's start in verse 3. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, this is a parable. It means it's a story, almost a metaphor that Jesus is telling. And you may think, like, Jesus, that's weird. Can't you just tell us what it means? Like, why do you always have to talk in metaphors all the time? And that's exactly what the disciples asked after this. And Jesus gave quite an interesting response that I love. And I'm not going to go through all of it verse by verse, because I got confused trying to piece it all together. Instead, I'm going to give you just like a little bit of insight into my research, what Jesus is really trying to say. So I discovered that Jesus is using these parables to almost confuse. I know it sounds quite the opposite of what we expect him to do, but really, if you hear something that you are not interested in become confusing, are you gonna take the time to research it? If you hear someone talking about something that you are disinterested in, that you don't want to know about, are you gonna take the time to like listen to what they have to say to really understand what they're trying to say? You won't bother finding out more, finding the meaning behind it. And Jesus is using this parable to separate from people who are genuinely interested in learning about God and having a relationship with him, and then the people who are just there to see the miraculous Jesus, to follow the crowd, to hear somewhat of what he has to say. And he's making sure that anyone who hears and truly believes will understand. And those that are not truly believing and open to hearing the word, they won't be bothered. But they won't feel condemned or hurt or put off by what he's saying. They think it's a story. That's all it is, right? It's putting the individual person to the test. And that's a little bit of what it takes to prepare to plant a garden. Learning and growing with God. Obviously, I do not know everything. No one person knows everything, right? And part of preparing yourself is continuing to learn and growing in that relationship with God. How do we do that? Simply continuing to read the Bible, being in godly community just like we are tonight, worshiping, prayer, talking to God, talking to all of us. All of that can grow your relationship with God. And that's one part of preparing yourself to plant a garden for him. So like I spoke about before, the other part of this metaphor that I really like is that Jesus is putting the decision to be open to the word on the individual person. He's letting them choose whether or not they will be open to hearing the gospel. If they're not open to listening to the gospel, then they just won't understand. He's not saying, you need to listen to me and God or you're gonna die. He's not saying that. He's saying it in a way that if you choose to be open and really listen to what God is telling you through this, you understand what he's trying to say. That's something really important to think about when you are feeling called to plant seeds into somebody else. When you're trying to share the gospel with friends, family, coworkers, we need to realize that maybe not everyone is open to hearing about Jesus. But I do want to mention that is not on us at all. If God tells us to talk to someone, talk to them. If God is leading you somewhere, check it out. Let's see. But if they don't want to come to church, if they don't want to hear the word, if they don't want to talk to you, that's them not being open to hearing the gospel. That is their heart. And we are in charge of following the Holy Spirit's calling for our lives. We are called to follow God's direction. That is on us. But leading someone to Jesus, getting someone to come to church, someone having an open heart, that is God. He knows their heart. He can, that's him. So don't put that pressure on yourself. Now, we're going to dig into this metaphor a little bit, this parable that Jesus is using. And thankfully, he explains it to his disciples a few verses later in Matthew, so we don't have to guess at all. We don't have to infer or dig super far. Jesus just says it. So we're going to read in Matthew 13, 18 through 23. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So let's talk about these groups of people that Jesus is talking about. We have one that hears and doesn't understand. Someone who can sit and listen to what you have to say, but closes their heart to God and is not willing to actually understand what we mean, what God is telling them. If you think about it, hearing and listening are two very different things here. Hearing means it goes in your ears, right? You hear it. But listening means you're able to understand and process and think about what that person is trying to say. So this person is maybe like hearing, but not quite listening to the point of understanding. This is what he means by seeds being tossed on the ground and being eaten by birds, right? They're gone right away. The second is someone who gets really excited about hearing about Jesus. But then anytime something goes wrong, someone doesn't like their faith, or they can't do something that they want to do, they deny the faith. This is why he describes a shallow soil. It's a shallow faith to believe one minute, and when trouble comes the next, you deny everything that you've believed in. And sometimes it can be quite opposite, right? Sometimes we're in trouble and we say, God, I need help. But then when we're living life fine, we're like, man, I did a great job. The third person is someone who understands the word and probably believes fully, but then is wrought with just doubts and is caught up in the world around them. Maybe someone who feels like they need money to feel valued, or someone who is constantly worried about life. They are immediately full of thorns and can't produce good fruit or a good harvest because they aren't putting their full trust in God. It's like telling God you trust him, but then immediately asking him, why haven't I got the promotion at work? And worrying about what you can do to fix those problems. Lastly, we have someone who believes and listens to the word and becomes fruitful in the harvest. God blesses the seeds that are rooted in him and are continuing to pursue that relationship we talked about earlier while following his plan for them and trusting him to follow through on that plan. Now, you might see yourself as any of these seeds. I know I've been in a couple different parts of soil in my life. If you feel like you're somewhere not in good soil, take a step back and look at what you can do to improve. Look at what you can do to strengthen your relationship with God. And let me tell you, it is not a quick and easy fix. It is not, oh, I'll just pray more. I'll just pray once a day and that'll fix it. We've talked about how it's not easy to be a Christian. It's not. There are so many places that we can start a garden, and while the answer may look easy, there's four places that we can go, and only one bears fruit, and blessings, and a good harvest. If we want this year to create a good harvest, we have to be planted in that abundant soil. That abundant soil is true trust and relationship with God. Just like we talked about before, having a relationship with God is unique and individual. And we have to be continuously striving for it. We have to be in the word and community and praise and prayer. And we have to prepare ourselves to see God working in our garden. God accepts us for who we are. He knows your true heart. He knows where you're at. He understands everything that you've gone through. And this is the same God that Jake talked about last week. That huge God that created the universe, created you, and made you unique. Knows your past, your present, and your future. So instead of putting yourself in places where you do everything, you only trust yourself, you're surrounded by bad influences, you're being a bully to yourself or to others, let's just remember that. Remember that God is good, that he is the perfect father, that he can do anything, and that he made you. So tonight, I want you to reflect on what kind of soil you're in, where you've put yourself. Are you setting yourself up for failure in bad soil? Or are you continuing to grow roots in the only one who truly knows who you are? We're sinners. We make mistakes all the time. We've all sinned. But this brand new year, it's not late to start thinking about your eternity. It's not too late to put yourself in a place that God can use you to bear good fruit. It's not too late to share the gospel with someone God placed on your heart. It's not too late to open yourself to what God is leading you to do. God will make the blessings abundant if we choose to follow him through everything, through the hard times and through the best times. If we continue to grow in him, we can have a plentiful of blessings after this year. All we have to do is prepare our soil for the big things that he has planned for us. So let's put in the work this year and the year after and the year after that. For the God that knitted us together piece by piece. For the God that loves us fully, so much more than one can imagine. We're not perfect. And we're not called to be perfect people. We've always been sinners. But there's a God that loves us so much that he made us for a purpose. And he has a plan for every single one of us, individually. I think this is the big message tonight. I think this is it. God reveals the big point in Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. It is the glory of highly regarded people to search out information, to do the research, to search out a relationship, because God blesses those who want to grow. That's the big picture. God blesses those who put themselves in a place to where they are allowed to grow, where they want to grow, where they want to have relationship with him, to grow with him. So let's prepare our garden this year for God to do great things, for God to use us and grow us.